I always often think, you know, well, what can I say? Because I have this thing where in our fellowship, let me see, how can I put this? I've never taught a married couples group at our church. I counsel couples as a pastor. Obviously, I have to give counsel, pray, encourage, so on and so forth. But we've never felt led to lead the married couples ministry at our church because I have this thing where I say, you know, you shouldn't be leading a married couples ministry if, you know, you don't have at least 20 years under your belt. So we've always just stayed away from it, you know, and thank God that we have a great couple in our church that have been married longer than that. And the husband is one of the elders in our church. And so they lead a great married couples group. They meet tonight on Friday nights. And, you know, it's a blessing. But I've been asked, you know, a lot to come and speak at these. And usually around this time, I'm asked, you know, to come and do dinners here and there. And so, like, next week, I will be doing this for Calvary Chapel Downey at down at their church for their couples thing. And, you know, and then I'll speak at our married couples retreat. I usually do, like, the first night. And then, you know, because there's young couples there just to try to encourage them. But I often kind of, you know, pray a little bit and think, okay, Lord, what do you have for these couples? Because the Lord knows what we all need. And it's the most important thing is to draw it from His Word so that we can be encouraged in His Word. And that's kind of what I want to do tonight. I just want to talk about Jesus. I want to invite you just to listen to me talk about the one whom I'm truly in love with. And it's interesting because as I started kind of putting this whole thing together, I started thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll just change it up a little bit, you know. And then as I was thinking that, I looked at this little sign right under the pulpit here, and it says, love is all you need. And really, the topic for this study tonight is God's design for love. And so I said, well, I guess I got to teach it. And then every song they sang talked about love. So I says, man. All right. Okay, Lord, you know what you're going to do with this. So I just want to share out of John chapter 15. And let me kind of give you guys a little bit of a background. You know, me and my wife, you know, we've been married 17 years. I've known her 19 years. We have three beautiful children. Our oldest just turned 18. And my daughter is 16. And then our youngest is a boy, two boys and a girl. And he's 14. So we're in the teenage years. And it's been really good raising these kids. Me and my wife have had a blast with our babies, you know, and they're getting older on us. And, you know, it's not cool to treat them like little kids anymore, at least from their perspective. So, but we do. We have a blast with them. And the Lord's really showed us a lot, you know, and me and my wife come from very dysfunctional homes. Our parents divorced when we were young, and so we didn't know what marriage looked like. We got married young, and it was probably right around the time that we, you know, we didn't know what we wanted in life, period, you know. And I was just released from prison, my last prison term, and I remember thinking to myself, you know, I'm most likely going to spend the rest of my life in prison, or I got to, you know, get something, do something right, you know. And the Lord really started working on my heart, and my wife had gotten saved first. And then when I got out of prison, we started going to church together. And the first, you know, year was really hard, especially in our Christian walk. And one day we had stopped, you know, we were just upset with each other. I forget what the fight was about, but them days the fights were very ugly. And I remember talking to this pastor, relative of mine, and he tells me, so how's Bianca? And I says, yeah, I don't know, man. You know, and he says, you know, and I didn't talk like that. I was like, I don't know, Holmes, you know, that Hannah, she's tripping, eh, you know. That's how I used to talk back then, you know. I'll translate for those of you that don't understand later. Anyways, you know, I'm talking to him, you know, and then he tells me this. He goes, so what's going on? I says, yeah, we got in this fight, you know, and, you know, it's just, yeah, she ain't the one, man. You know, I'm telling him, you know. And he looked at me and he just asked me this question. He says, do you love her? And I looked at him and I says, well, yeah, I guess I do, you know. He says, well, then if you love her, then go get her. That's what he told me. And I remember I jumped in the car and I drove from, like, you know, Fontana all the way to San Dimas down the 210 freeway. Like, I'm going to get this girl, you know, kind of thing. And I went over there. And it was just the way the Lord worked it out. I don't know if she was waiting for me or what, but she was on the porch of the house, and I pull up, and she's looking at me like, what do you want, you know? And I'm like, round two, you know, kind of thing. Anyways, I walked up, and I just says, look, I don't know what happened. All I know is you're upset, I'm upset, but look, if this is going to work, the only way it's going to work is if we both go to church and we just seriously make a full commitment to serving Christ. And she looked at me and she said, okay. And I was like, whoa, okay. Okay. Well, okay. Well, then let's go and let's do this. And we did. And it was amazing. Now, here's the thing about it. We've never been to marriage counseling. We've never read marriage books. None of that. And I'm not opposed to any of that. I'm with that stuff. Hey, you got to do it. But, you know, it was hard being married and raising a family. And one day after we were married, and I know she's asked this question to the Lord and I've asked it, did I make the right decision? Did I marry the right person? You know, and this is what I did. I looked up every single verse in the Bible on marriage, every single one. And I read them. And I said, Lord, make her this woman. No, I didn't. I said, this is what I said. I said, God, make me this man so that she can be this woman. That's it. That's all I said. And the Lord just started dealing with my heart. I can't explain it. Throughout the years, I just began to grow. And I was just sharing with our congregation on Wednesday night about teaching. I was teaching in Revelation chapter 2 on the church of Ephesus. You've left your first love. And so begin to kind of relate that whole thing of how sometimes your love grows cold in a marriage. And, you know, just the kind of whole picture, just to give them a real brief picture of what Jesus was talking about. And he's saying, you know, return back to your first love kind of thing. And I was talking about how me and my wife, you know, we consider ourselves older, but we're really not, you know. And, you know, but our relationship, our marriage has just been amazing. And I learned this early on, and I want this to kind of be the, you know, the thing that maybe you guys go away with this evening. And that is that your ministry will only be as strong as your marriage. And I remember sharing that with Pastor Chuck and telling him, you know, this is my take on ministry and marriage. And I remember he just looked at me. And he just says, you know, I've never heard that before. You know, and I says, yeah, I go, that's kind of just where I'm at. You know, your ministry will only be as strong as your marriage. And so our marriages are for the purpose of glorifying God. That's really what they're for. And I think sometimes this big misconception that many people have is, as a pastor, I have seen the good, the bad, the ugly, not only because of my marriage, but because of marriages in the church. And having to counsel and meet with people. And you think that this person is not this way until you get, you know, an anonymous email from their wife. Or the husband pulls you aside and says, I need prayer. And then it's just like, whoa, this is not what people think it is. And so what I always tell the fellowship is this. Your Christianity counts the most when nobody's watching but the Lord himself. It's like we're so concerned about what other people think, you know. And so some just put on this thing with their marriage that, you know, and because people see, well, they've been together a long time, it must be great. You know what? The truth of the matter is, a lot of times it's not. And what is marriage? Biblically, I mean, if you really look at it in Scripture, you find that the Lord ordained it. And we often look at the Bible and say, well, this is what marriage should be. What marriage should be is what marriage was pre-fall. It was perfect. It was without sin. It declared the glory of God and His righteousness and His goodness and His faithfulness. And what made marriage ugly was man's choice to rebel. And what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, I get people and they come, you know, in my office and they sit there and they say, you know what, Pastor Dave, you know, I don't love him anymore. And the guy just looks crushed. He's like, I can't believe you just said that. He's looking at me. He's like, you see, bro, she's the one with the problem. She don't love me no more. You know, they give me that look, you know. And then the guy was like, you know, well, yeah, I don't love her anymore either. And then you know what I tell them? Good. Good. I'm glad you guys are saying this. And they look at me like I'm crazy. Like, what, you're our pastor. You're supposed to tell us, no, 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 no. Love, love, love. And I'm like, you don't love him? No. You don't love her? No. This is good. This is going to be good. And so why? I said, that's good. I says, the reason why you don't love each other is because your perception of love is based on your emotion. And I thank God that love is not an emotion. It's a choice. I can prove it to you, I tell them. Let me read to you John chapter 3, verse 16, I tell them. For God so loved the world. That wasn't an emotional experience that God had one day and said, you know what, let me send my son to die on the cross for their sin because I'm just so emotional right now. No. He chose to love. It doesn't say that for God so loved the church, for God so loved the perfect. No, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That is a choice. Love is a choice. So then when they come to me and they say, well, I don't love him. Well, that's good, man. He's looking at me like, bro, what's up? You know, and I don't love her anymore. Well, that's good, bro. You know, and I tell them, but what happened is you guys are expressing your emotion. Love's a choice. And you chose to love each other. And you chose not to love each other somewhere down the line. You see, then I went from taking passages that talked about marriage in Scripture, and then I started looking at all Scripture as it would be applied to my marriage. And not too long ago, I was just in my study one day, and you know what? I'll be honest with you guys. I am so in love with the Lord. And my love with the Lord has made me love my wife in ways now that I never thought possible. Your ministry will only be as strong as your marriage. Jesus speaking to the disciples in John chapter 15, giving them a very profound truth on the vine and the branches, now begins to teach them on the topic of love. And I looked at these verses in that, and I says to myself, I'm going to ask myself a couple of questions. And so look what Jesus says in verse 9 of chapter 15. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but in Scripture we have probably about 593 references to the word love in the Bible. And maybe for a moment here, I can help you guys out with this. Does anybody know where the first time the word love is used in the Bible? The very first time it's used in Scripture. Does anyone know? You'll get a prize. Raul will give it to you. I don't know what it is, but he'll... The first time that it's used in Scripture. Everybody's going to say Genesis because that's the first book of the Bible. But no, listen. It's used in the book of Genesis, in regards to a relationship. A relationship with who? A relationship with Abraham and Isaac. Remember in Genesis chapter 22, when God spoke to Abraham and he said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, right? The son of promise. And then he says this, whom you love. What is the backdrop of that whole story? It's summed up in one word. I'll make it easy for you. It starts with an S. Sacrifice. He's going to go and offer up his son as a sacrifice. You know the last time the word love is used in Scripture? You know where that's found? I already know what you're going to say. The last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 12. You remember what's spoken there in chapter 12, verse 11? It says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimonies, and they did not love their lives to the death. What is chapter 12 talking about? Giving up their lives. sacrifice. The very bookends of love in Scripture, and in the middle of it is the word sacrifice. One of the greatest things that happens in our ability to demonstrate God's love to this world. So many people get all hooked up on, let's go win souls. Let's go preach the gospel. Yes, these things are needful, but your marriage is the greatest, greatest instrument to show people what God's love is like. You know, there's three main marriages in the Bible, and one is yet to take place. You guys know what they are? Adam and Eve, God and Israel. He says he's married to Israel, does he not? He says it. Jesus and the church. And that marriage will take place once Christ comes back. But listen, marriage is spoken of all throughout Scripture. If you take the Word of God as a whole and you look at the relationship that Jesus had with the Father, clearly it's a picture for us to look at and know what loving one another is like. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Jesus clearly in verse 9 is demonstrating the very value of love. Think about what Jesus said, as the Father has loved me. Guys, listen, can you just for a moment try to grasp the love that Jesus is explaining right here? Just think about it. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Jesus is saying here, I did not withhold any of the love that the Father demonstrated to me towards you. I've given you all of it. That's the value of love. A complete, complete giving of oneself. There's the value. It lies right in there. It makes it very simple. Jesus didn't withhold any love. He says the same love that the Father has loved me with, I've loved you with. I can only imagine perhaps what came into the disciples' minds as they realized there the very nature in which Jesus was speaking. Because the disciples understood one thing about Jesus was his love of the Father. Think about this for a moment. The second time we see the word loved used in Scripture, it's found in Genesis chapter 24. The Bible says that Isaac loved Rebekah. The third time we see the word love used in Scripture is just in the next chapter, chapter 25 of Genesis, and it says that Rebekah loved her son, Jacob. Isaac loved who? Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. And the fourth time, you guys are going to like this, the word love is used in Scripture, is when it said Isaac loved his food. But guys, listen, Scripture repeatedly reveals to you and I God's eternal love for us. And in the marriage, it's a privilege. Marriage is a privilege. People get all excited like, well, you know, she wanted me, she got me, we're together. You know, vice versa, however that all works out. Listen, but, you know, in reality, in the body of Christ, as Christians, as long as we're married, that marriage is to reflect the very union and relationship that the Father had with the Son. It's to demonstrate God's love. It's to show it. Jesus made it very clear there in verse 9. Here's the value of it. And then he goes on to say here, if there's a choice. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If. So we see the value of love, but we also see that love is a choice. And you know, one thing that I always say, you know, anytime, I don't know if any of you here have given counsel in marriages. I'm sure that some of you have. But one of the things we always try to do is we try to say, remember the good days. Remember when it was just, man, you went totally out of your way just to get their attention. And for some of you, they weren't even paying attention to you. You had to do like double work. But remember what that was like. And then when they did first, you know, notice you, you were like, oh, man, I'm in. It's it. That's the one, you know. And they might not be feeling the same way, but it's already, it's a done deal with you. But in everything you went through,
You know, I mean, you know, for me and my wife, it was, you know, incarcerated, you know, and it was letters, writing letters back and forth, you know, and you know, and I didn't know how to spell good, and I still don't. That's why I don't use notes when I teach. You know what I mean? I mess up even, what did I write there? Wow. You know, it's like that bad, you know. And I just tell my wife, man, you write me like these double spaced, you know, all this, you know, and really it's like really one page. It's like a paragraph on like five pages, but it's like I wrote you a five page letter, you know? And so I got this long letter, and then I read it like in 2 minutes. I was like, wow, okay. You know, and all her envelopes, she would draw these little things on them, little hearts and all these little things. I just look at them, you know, it's like, man, she really loves me. And I believe that it was love. Guys, listen, the first place you know where I met my mother-in-law? In a visiting room in prison. That's the first place she went to go meet me at, you know? And I meet my mother-in-law, and it wasn't like we were in prison. We'd sit down, and she's like, so, how you been? You know, what's your name? And, you know, and I'm just like, wow, David. You know, guard walking by. Like, don't worry about him. He's going to be here the whole time with us. You know, it's kind of, you know. And, you know, my mother-in-law never judged me. Never. Mind-blowing. I said, this has to be love. It has to be love. Now, when I got out of prison, the family thought she was crazy, and they said, you better cut that guy loose. Look at him, you know, and he's good for nothing, and, you know, it's not going to work out. And now they're like blown away. They're like, oh my goodness, the guy's a pastor. But it's because of God's love. That's the awesome thing about it. The privilege of his love. Now, if you guys think that you've already exhausted it all, then you've shortchanged yourself. But there's nothing wrong with asking for a fresh touch in work and ministry of the Holy Spirit in your marriage. Why? Because really that is the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering, and self-control, the Bible says, above which there is no law. Galatians 5, it says it very clearly, love. And sometimes I have to pray, Lord, give me a fresh touch and work of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because I want my marriage to glorify you even when nobody is watching but you. That's where it counts the most. Jesus goes on to say, if you see the choice of love. Verse 11 says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Notice that. True love brings joy. It's a gift that God gives us. It's something that is just like, I get to love you. I choose to love you. It's that thing where, you know, I look at my wife and she looks at me and, you know she loves me. I feel this different thing with her now. It's different. It's just, this wasn't what we had in the beginning. But, you know, a point that she pointed out to me just the other evening, or actually this morning, as a matter of fact, was she says, you know, when you're not in fellowship with Jesus, your marriage is not in fellowship with Jesus. When you're not in your word, the marriage is affected. My wife says 17 years, and I've seen that. And that's why it's so important for us to be in our word. And you know, she does her devos, I do my devos, and, you know, that's one thing we've always worked on is that if it ain't right with the Lord in our own personal heart, it'll never be right between me and you. It never will. And for those of us that have kids, guess what? They get to see the misrepresentation of God's love. They're the first audience that sees it. They are. And so we have to take this and say, this is good. Like, remember when Peter was speaking to the wives? You remember there? Wives, I know you don't want to hear it. First Peter, right? Wives. He uses the S word. I'm sorry. That's okay. But let me break this down to you women. Listen, I'm not, don't get upset. Don't worry. I'm on your side. Trust me, I am. I used to throw that verse at my wife. Hey, the Bible says, you know, hey, you need to submit, bro. You're in sin. She'd be like, be quiet. It's like, shh. You know, and I used to always throw that. You know, the Bible says you need to submit, you know. That's what it says. That's what the word says. I throw every verse at her to try to get my way. And she would just look at me like, dude, you're nuts. You've always been crazy and you're still crazy, you know? But as the Lord, as I read that passage, the Lord taught me one thing. When my word says to my daughter, submit, it's an opportunity for her to serve me. That submission is her ministry to me, not to you. Her submission to you, you're just the recipient of it because you're a jerk that needs it. But her submission glorifies me, and that's my ministry that I've called her to, not for you to go and tell her, this is what you, it's my word, not yours, David. And it's her privilege to worship me in a way that you can't. Her submission to you is a clear picture of what you should be doing with me. And after a while, I backed off and I said, well, I better keep my mouth shut, man. It's a privilege. It's a ministry. And then you notice that a little bit later, what does he go on to say a couple of verses later? Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Dwell with them with understanding. Whoa. And then you go to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, right away, there we go. Jack and the wife up again. Look what it says there in Ephesians 5, man. But no, notice what it says. Like right around verse, 21, it says, submit one unto another. It goes both ways. Now, men, I'm not trying to jack you up or twist your theology. And Raw, you can fix all this later. But we're called to submit too. We're called to submit too. And sometimes I got to look at my wife and say, in my mind, I'm like, I ain't trying to listen to you, woman. You don't know what you're talking about. But out of my mouth, okay, babe, we'll do that. And I'm thinking, Lord, this better be you, or you so blue at this time, But the Lord's faithful. And you know who gets the glory? He does. You guys have probably seen these things that they make, these testimony films and all this stuff like that, and I really don't care about those things. I don't go to none of the showings. I don't really go to any of the things. Because to me, I just want to pastor my church. I've said it over and over and over. But I remember as they were interviewing my wife, it blew me away one day. And I share this a lot because it means so much to me, guys. But listen, sometimes you think, man, she ain't even paying attention to me, And here I am serving the Lord and all this stuff. And I'm thinking like, why? Sometimes it's... I don't know if you couples ever felt like this. You could pray for us, but sometimes in your marriage, the walk with the Lord is one-sided. One minute, it's the men thinking he's doing it all. The next minute, it's the wife thinking she's doing it all. And you feel like, man, well, and then you start to kind of, clean that up with, well, when I'm weak, he's strong, and when I'm weak, she's strong, but in reality, it shouldn't be that way. You guys should both be strong and pulling together and honoring the Lord. But it happens in every marriage. I know it does. At one point in time or another. And I was going through one of those things where I'm like, this woman, man, Lord, you sure? I was like, dude, you're like 15 years into it. Relax, man. I'm positive. And they asked her, they says, tell us something about Pastor David that we don't know. So, when they asked her that, I popped right back in there like, what are you going to say, woman? Because, they ain't going to be here once they're gone. Let's get this right, And, she sat there and she says, this is what she said. His integrity. And I looked at her and I says, what do you know about integrity? What are you talking about? This is good. Okay. Do tell. She said, he is the most consistent Christian I've ever met. Because I know him. I'm with him all the time. And then she says, I am the woman of God that I am today because of my husband. That rocked me to the core. You know what I said to myself? She is watching me. She is paying attention to me. She is listening to the very words that I tell her. And the times when I'm being an idiot. And the times when I'm not paying attention. And the times when I'm not leading. And the times when she doesn't see Jesus. She sees it. She sees it all. And I remember like, I said to myself, Lord, I need to repent. You bless me with this wife. You know, it's, I don't know where I lost it. You know, early on in our marriage, we were invited to a marriage conference and we went and I'm just like, let's go see what these people are talking about here. You know, I mean, and we go and this guy's like, would you talk to the pastor's wife the way you talk to your wife at home? And I'm looking at him like, be quiet, man. You know, what are you saying that for? And all the guys are like, no. He's like, why? Well, that's like the pastor's wife. That's our sister in the, yeah, your sister in the Lord, right? Yeah. Well, what do you think your wife is? That's God's daughter. That's your sister in Christ. Man, when he said that, I was like, shut up. Shut up. I don't want to hear it. And I felt so convicted. And we walked out of, this is funny. We walked out of there and I'm just like, you know, cara de chancla, you know, I'm done. You know, it's like my face. I'm just like, man, I walk out, I sit in the car and I look at her. I'm like, babe, I love you. And I'm sorry for everything I ever. She looked at me, she's like, be quiet. Let's hurry up and let's go home, you know. I was convicted in there, you know. And I realized that this is God's daughter. And I'll be held accountable for the ministry of my marriage. Did my marriage, did my years with Bianca, did I set a goal and say, well, I can't wait till we hit our 25th so we can say we've been married 25 years? No. Our goal in marriage should be, God, is my marriage glorifying you? Is it showing what your word teaches us about biblical love, the value of love, the choice of love, the gift of love? Look at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. An unfailing love, he's saying here. This is it. Here is the example, he says. And then look at verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down, listen, lay down one's life for his friends. Your spouse is your friend, right? Don't we use that term? This is my best friend. This is my friend. We're you know, this is it. Sacrifice. Think about that. Because the picture here clearly is the work of the cross, correct? Verse 13 is showing us what Jesus did for us. And Jesus is saying, this is true biblical love, sacrifice. You choose one another. You sacrifice for one another. He says, you are my friend if you do whatever I command you. Guys, listen, love. Love doesn't fail. You know what it does? It lays down. It's sacrificial. You don't just stop loving because you can. No, you choose to stop. But you can choose to say, Lord, you know what? May my marriage, may it glorify. May it bring glory to your name and who you are. He says in verse 15, and I'll wrap it up here. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. In other words, he's saying, listen, here's the fruit of love. Here it is. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus is saying, listen, I've given you guys everything you need to succeed. And Jesus has given you everything you need for your relationship, for your marriage, for your walk, for everything. This is what it's all about when it all boils down to at the end of the day. You guys know that? That's what it, have you guys ever just tripped out on what Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3? A lot of people don't like to read that passage. It's like, oh, that's, I thought we Christians weren't going to get judged. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a time of rewards and a lack thereof. And some are just going to make it in by the skin of their teeth, it says, saved by fire. So all this time that you've been in your marriage, guess what? Jesus, yes, in Scripture, as Paul is relating to what Jesus is going to reward us for, is going to be for what we've done with our walk with him, correct? What have you done with my son Jesus? We use that term, but really Jesus will be on a bema seat, and we will go, and guess what? Remember what Paul says. This foundation has already been laid. Be careful, he says, as to what type of building material you build on top of this foundation with. He says, wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones. 1 Corinthians 3, read it.
And he says, but it will be revealed by fire as to what sort of work it really was. You know, some are just going to offer up careers and they're going to be burned up. Some are going to offer up the nice home and the resources and the fun. Well, I took care of my family. Look at how my kids were in college. That's all you're going to offer up. That's going to be burned up. What's going to get rewarded is what you did for Jesus. Your marriage will be rewarded for what you did with Jesus. No greater love, Jesus says. No greater love. I love verse 16. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. There's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I just want a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit in my marriage. I want a fresh working in my heart, that my heart towards my spouse and to the family abroad and the body of Christ and everyone that we together come encounter with will represent your love, Jesus, that it will clearly picture what the Scripture says. And let me tell you guys, that's what I pray for all the time. I pray for that. I want that in my marriage more and more. And God has many ways that he can bring this out to a greater degree. And I love that. Because we're supposed to be what? Bearing fruit. What is the fruit of your marriage? Are all you offering up is years? We've stuck it out for 35 years, 40 years. Or can some say, man, their relationship, I want what they have. Because there's no way about getting out of that away in that conversation with the basis of your guys' love for one another is who? Jesus. You're going to have to talk about him and talk about his love for you and how he radically did a work in your life. And for some, saved your marriage. For some, restored your relationships. For some, made you a different man, a different woman, you know? It's all his working. It's pretty amazing. But there is one person that hates your marriage, hates your spouse, hates your family, and it's the enemy. And he wants this message to go in one ear and out the other. Because he hates you so much. He wants to lie to you and tell you your marriage is good. Look how long you've been married. You don't got to do that. You don't got to go out of your way now. You don't got to say this little petty little prayer. God knows your heart. Yes, he does. And he probably ain't happy with it. Every opportunity God's word is put before me, I say, Lord, take my life. Take my heart. Take my marriage. Use it for your honor and for your glory. Are we perfect? No. But I love when God glorifies himself because he gives us the opportunity to be the vessel that he uses. Isn't that amazing? I love that. I love it. It's like, oh God, you did it right there. I just seen it. Bearing fruit. You know what I love about this passage? Some people say, well, you know, guys, listen, really, love takes the initiative. That's what it does. But here, the bearing fruit, some people say, how long do I have to endure? Jesus said, I chose you and I appointed you that you bear fruit. Go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. You know the word there, bear fruit, in the original language is a Greek word, karpos, K-A-R-P-O-S. The root word of karpos comes from the word harpazo that we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, the taking up of the church. Jesus is saying, go and bear fruit. Fruit that remains. The word there, remain, in the original language is meno. It means that is steadfast, that is enduring. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, go and bear fruit, because when the master comes to pick that fruit, how long do I do it? Till he comes back. Bearing fruit, the fruit of love. May your marriage be a massive, fruitful orchard that is constantly producing fruit so that many can enjoy. Pretty amazing. And then he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. That's an awesome command. I choose to love my wife. I choose to love my family. The sad thing is, there's a lot of people that choose not to. We see it in our ministries. We see it in our churches. We see it in our communities. Some of you see it in your family, where some have stopped choosing to love one another. And you've seen what the devastation has done. But we have the privilege to say, thank you, Jesus, that you've kept us, that you have us in your hand. Think about it. As the scriptures tell us, guys, that he chose us. Clearly, that's what he said here in John chapter 15, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 talks about the very choosing that the Lord. God chose you guys as a couple to glorify his name. He also died for us. Romans 5, 8. And the Bible says that he will never leave us. Hebrews 13, 5. The Bible also teaches in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. So you guys chose each other. You guys die to yourselves for one another. You guys should never leave one another. And nothing should ever separate you from one another. Why? Because Mark chapter 10 is very clear. In verse 9 it says, what God has joined together. It's interesting how it says, let not man separate. Boy, does man have a way of separating what God has brought together. Isn't that amazing? And the Lord is saying, listen, my purpose of bringing you together is to glorify me, is to glorify my name. What a privilege. And if we can be honest in our hearts here tonight, and be really, just be very sincere, stripping ourselves of our titles and whatever we are in the church, in the body. But if you can be honest in your heart and you say, you know what, Pastor Dave, that spoke to my heart. I see there what Jesus is saying. And I see for me things that the Lord has put his finger on in my heart. And I want to glorify God in my marriage. I want to be what the scripture says I'm supposed to be as a husband or as a wife. The Bible is not saying for you to be perfect. Jesus never told them here in John 15 to be perfect. He just said, choose to love. Because if you do, it'll bear much fruit. Can you be honest in your heart and say, Pastor Dave, I want that. I want that for me. I want that for my marriage. Is that you? Just slip your hand up very quickly. I just want to pray with you. God bless you. Any more honest hearts here tonight? God bless you. God bless you. Just want to pray with you. That's all I want to do. I like that he's pulling up his wife's hand. Pick it up, woman. Pick it up. You know, it's crazy because, you know, when we used to go to churches and stuff and visit, and then at the end they would do like the altar call, you know, and they'd be like, does people want prayer, you know, come up? And I'm looking at my wife, and that time would come, and she was always so sensitive. She just wanted prayer. And I would look at her and I'm like, you better not even get up. Then they're going to, you know, and everybody else would be getting them. She's just looking. I'm like, don't get up. They're going to think we got problems in our marriage. Don't do it. Don't do it, woman. I'll pray for you later. Just, I got the message. I got this. We'll take care of this at home. You know, and she used to always look at me before, you know, and the Lord would be like, dude, you're so jacked up, man. I want to do a work in your wife, and you're hindering that. You're hindering that because you're ashamed, because you don't represent me well to your wife. She doesn't see Jesus. She sees you. I thank God that he is that way with me. And I know my wife does too. And if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Stand with your wife. I want to pray with you. Stand with your spouse. Father, tonight, we thank you that your word is truth. It is absolute truth. And Lord, though we looked at a passage of scripture within its context that deals with Jesus and his disciples and their love for one another, Lord, you revealed this to me and asked me the very questions. What is the value of my love towards my wife? Am I choosing to love her? Have I honored the gift that you've given me, the gift of love and the joy that it's brought? And like any other gift that you've given us, Lord, we're to exercise it. Lord, you've also revealed to me things about my marriage just in this passage alone that I had to ask myself, is there fruit? Is it bearing fruit? And so, Lord, as we stand here because of you and because your word and because the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we ask you tonight to pour out your spirit afresh and anew. Lord, in the book of Acts, we see the apostles filled with the Holy Spirit on more than one occasion. And so tonight we ask for an infilling. We ask for a fresh touch. We ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our marriages. Upon us as husbands, Lord, may we empty ourselves of us. May we lay down our lives for our spouse. May we protect them. May we lead them. May we guide them. May we love them. Looking at you, Jesus, as our example. Lord, our wives, our sisters in the Lord, your daughters, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them beyond measure, strengthen them, pour out your Spirit afresh and anew. Lord, that these marriages will glorify you in every aspect. And Lord, right now, your word clearly teaches, Lord, that you do search our hearts. Remember, David even invites you. He says, oh, Lord, search me to know me. Oh, Lord, search everything about me. Lord, we invite that into our marriage and we say, Lord, remove those things that are not of you. And may this not just be another study that we listen to and respond to and get up after and say, oh, you know, well, that was good. No, Lord, may it be something that we walk away from and we invite conviction and correction upon our hearts. We want to walk in the fear of the Lord. We want to honor you with our marriages. We want to honor you with our lives. May you be glorified, King Jesus, in the relationships that you've given us to glorify your name in a fallen world until you come back. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.